Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. We'll look at Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to be talking to you about uncovering the hidden things. But before we begin, I'll need some prayer, very special prayer. And we'll go into that after we finish reading. But Psalm 78, verses 1 through 3 says, "My people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us." We want to uncover the hidden things today by the help of the Lord. Yes. Got a call. It was terrific. We had a baptismal service, and a colleague of mine named Eric Kelly is a counselor at our school, and his wife just moved from Barrow. They had both been teaching in Barrow, and they spent a school year apart. She had been teaching up in Barrow. She just moved, and she was there that night. And I said, "We have our first person who was baptized, and then you're number 50, Eric." And that was an exciting time, but he just called me and said that he and his wife are getting evicted out of their apartment that they have there, a real beautiful location that they're in, overlooking the water and so forth. And it's he and his wife, and we're not sure why, but I know that we can pray for that in Jesus' name. And I need somebody to speak that into existence. Amen. We're praying in God's will, but I believe we have a prophetic people here. Giftings I can't even begin to speak of and thank you for all the way around. So if you would speak, amen, that relationship back in repair, speak that into existence, we pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Can you do that right now and lift up your voice in prayer? God, can somebody speak that relationship back together? Praise God. And I appreciated that word of faith, Brother Sam. And I appreciate how David, when he was speaking of the cause and facing some facing conflict and skepticism and an all-out adversary, he would just turn around and find somebody else. And when he began to speak it, praise God, that prophetic began to gain momentum. And suddenly it wasn't something so crazy. He was before the king. Amen. If one person's not believing your word of faith, go ahead and find somebody else. Turn to somebody else and say, "God spoke to me. God can use me." Hallelujah. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. "Oh, my people," the psalmist declares, "hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth." I like that. "Let it be said." We've got to speak some things in this place. There's a relationship that I need to have with God that must be spoken. Yeah. My God is my king, and even more unbelievably, Jesus is my friend. Right. Jesus is a brother. But I have to understand that he will one day be my judge. And there's some things that just does not work when you go before a judge. I've been before a magistrate as guilty as sin. And when he asked me my plea, when he asked me to state my case and scenario, Brother Levi, I didn't speak to him in my heart. I didn't speak to him in my brain. I didn't say, "Well, I'm thinking some good thoughts. I'm thinking plea thoughts. I'm thinking that you're going to let me off" kind of thoughts. But when I wasn't really even speaking loud enough into the microphone, he told me very firmly to put my mouth to that microphone and declare, I'm here to tell somebody in Proverbs 18 and 21, it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Romans 10 says confession is made to salvation. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In my relationship with Melina, I don't just get to think I love you. I don't get to, you know, have that those thoughts of I love you. But I better speak it out. Amen. And I better speak it out continually, baby. I love, man. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. Hallelujah. I better speak it out. If you've got the love of God in your heart, amen. If you want to be saved, if you want to spend eternity with God, I recommend opening your mouth right now and going ahead and declaring it unto Him. Would somebody be willing to stand to your feet and open your mouth and say, God, I love you. Would you be willing to communicate to the Savior? Would you be willing to plead His blood over your situation? Maybe you're like I was before that magistrate, guilty. There was no excuse, but oh, I plead the blood. And why don't you worship Him while I get a drink of water in Jesus' name? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Brother Paul, they're going to think good thoughts. They're going to come to the front of the church and arms folded and I'm thinking good thoughts. No, it's a God thing. Jesus said they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. I'm just ignorant enough that I'm not going to psychoanalyze that. I'm not going to theologize that. Amen. Brother Armstrong said, I can't even pronounce theologian. Amen. I'm not going to Greek and Hebrew that away. I'm going to believe it's a God thing and receive it. Because what I know about God is everything He gives us, every good and perfect gift, is wonderful. It's great. It's what our lives need. Amen. And He says, I will utter hidden things, things from of old. There's stuff that need be uncovered. Don't look to the latest and most urgent discussion of the day. The latest cultural phenomena, latest thinking that presents the fully evolved human being. The latest political figure or legislation that promises the answers. Jeremiah 6:16 says it very well. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Amen. The world changes that. I heard somebody preach about the mark of the beast. Amen. Instead of just understanding where the good way is, they change that whole statement into a question. And it becomes, well, where is the good way? Well, what is truth? I'm consuming the latest technology. I'm consuming the latest synthetics of the drug world. The most recent fermentation of brewers, and I'm still asking, where is the good way? I'm indulging in lustful pleasures, but I'm found wanting. I'm spending myself and my money and all this indulgence. I'm giving myself to my career, but I'm left asking, where is the good way? And the good way is not something to be unveiled in the future. Amen. Not something new age. It's not going to come through postmodernism. It's not going to come through millennialism. Amen. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and Him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy heart, amen, all thy strength. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And if you continue in my words, then you are my disciples. Here you find rest for your souls. One of my favorite passages, Genesis 4 and verse 26. It says, to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos, which means man. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I could give you all kinds of definitions for a man, but this is one of my favorites. Hallelujah. We call him man. Why? Because he begins to call upon the name of the Lord. Real men are going to have the boldness to speak out. Real men are going to have the boldness to stay with some hidden treasure and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. A real man understands that I've got to call upon the name of the Lord. Why don't you do that right now? I think some people understand his name in this place. Would somebody shout Jesus? Is there any men in here that would shout Jesus? In their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by him, by them. Amen. Genesis 24, 62 speaks of Isaac. And there's so important for us to stick with the things that work. There was an ancestor of Isaac that had been in a terrible situation. She was being abused by her boss. And she would later be thrown into a broken family. She was having to take her son away. But in that process of time, the Lord had showed her a spring, a well. Amen. And that well was called Be'er Lahai Roi, which means the living God who sees me. Hallelujah. And scripture says that Isaac is waiting on God. He doesn't have his promise yet. He doesn't have his perfect bride yet. He's just waiting upon those promises that are to come. Man, they happened for my ancestors. It happened for my dad. It may have happened for other ones around me. They may have that, but I am waiting upon God. It says he's living in the Negev. That's a desert area. I may not see my harvest of yet. May not have my bride of yet, but I'm going to be spending some time with the living God who sees me. And Pastor Glover says he went out to the field one evening to meditate. Amen. That's what we were talking about earlier. That's not New Age thinking. That's not humanism. What he was doing was giving his thoughts and his prayers unto God. He says, I'm going to that well. And there's something so special, Mike, about this well. Genesis chapter 16 and 14. The narrator felt it important enough to tell us that it is still there between Kadesh and Bered. I guess some wells run dry. There's some wells that we can go after. There's some humanism that we can go after. That does not create the results that are needed. Doesn't create what was promised. There's New Age things and things that are created opposed to God. But the writer's letting us know that well of the living God who sees me, oh, it's still there. And I'm willing to tell somebody today that the well of salvation that is created by the sacrifice of Jesus, oh, it's still there. And he still sees you. And you can still draw from the waters of salvation freely. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. And I like how the writer is saying, I will. Somebody said, where there's a will, there's a way. I will utter hidden things. I will open my mouth. The will is a strong desire or a determination to do something. But it moves me to, as I'm thinking about that intangible will of the tangible will, you know, the document that somebody produces. It's an impressively powerful, unpredictable, anxious phenomena. It's where we begin to determine to with whom belongs this person's estate. Who gets the heirlooms? Who gets the assets? And it can be very, very problematic, or it can be very glorious from ordinary individuals. There was a man who just worked as a library cataloger at a university, and he saved and lived very humbly. And then he gave to his alma mater $4 million. And, you know, you can have scenarios of that matter. And then there's also negative intent that is placed alongside the whole process of the will. You get the term gold digger. Somebody not genuine. Somebody not giving their affection genuinely. They're just trying to get into the treasure. But in Jewish culture, when we look at Jesus, you see a genealogy that placed so much emphasis upon the will. And not just a written document, but rather blessing that would come from the patriarch passing away. Look at Joseph. Joseph is literally a king. Proverbially, I mean, he's a leader of Egypt. He's second to Pharaoh. He's living in wealth and riches. But when he's told that Jacob is ready to give his blessing out, ready to proclaim his will out, man, he lets go of everything. There's no schedule that's more important right now. There's no meeting with any dignitaries that's more important right now. Boy, I've got to get to my father, because there's some intangibles that you just can't have in this world. There's something that echoes into eternity when my father gives his will. And Jacob would speak about it. He said, in Genesis 49:10, and back even to Isaac has blown my mind, how he, when he gave his blessing, he declared, I blessed, and whoever I bless, they will be blessed. You can't take it back. Understand that it's happened and it will come. There's some power in our wills that we're putting forth here. And this is how Jacob clarifies it, Israel, if you will. He says, your father's blessings are greater than the ancient mountains. They're greater than the bounty of age-old hills. And this is what Jesus put into his will before he died. He spoke to a man named Simon. And he said in Matthew 16:18, that I also declare unto you that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will also give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the authority that we took a moment ago on this whole situation. Amen. And so that was put there. There's a will that was declared. But oh man, you consider Jesus' sacrifice. How much of that will is still in effect? Being surrounded by so many pretenders, how much of that is he going to stand by? When you consider his execution at such a young age, the truth of his message being denied. John chapter 18 and verse 37, Pilate is questioning him and says, you are a king then. And Jesus answered, you are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to, everybody say, the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Hearing the most perfect package of truth and of salvation, of the image of the invisible God, the gift given to humanity, it would be treated so flippantly by a ruler of that day. What is truth? He flippantly and scoffingly asks. That wasn't a question of teach me, teacher. That was more of a arrogant response of I am a Roman and how dare you declare to me anything about truth. The world inserting a question upon God's statement. There you have that mark of the beast. He just said, I am truth. I testify to truth. And the mark of the beast is inserted. What is truth? He's forsaken by his followers. The one to inherit the keys was struck by severe amnesia. I don't know him, he declared several times. But you're the one that's written in his will. He already spoke about what you're going to receive. Keys? I don't know of any keys, man. I have no idea who you're talking about. Well, maybe I know who you're talking about, but I don't know him. You know, I mean, I'm not one of those people. So he's forsaken by his closest followers. And then he's beaten beyond recognition at his death. Isaiah 52:14. There's many who are appalled at him. You might not like him. You might not know him. But when you see him, you're going to cover your mouth and gasp. You've never seen someone beaten so badly. You've never seen someone literally looking like a donkey before. Ears swelled up. Everything out of place. Nose swelled up. Cheeks swelled. Lips bleeding, both eyes closed. You haven't seen that before. Disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. And then finally, crucified, not to speak of the other beatings that took place in the cat of nine tails. And make no mistake who we've crucified. Bible declares in Acts 2:36, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Everybody say, both Lord and Christ. What the Bible's communicating to us there is the Lord is the Greek word used to translate the holy name of God, Yahweh, in the Hebrew scriptures. So he's saying he's Yahweh, he's God. And then Christ is the Greek word used to translate the Hebrew word Messiah. So this group realized we put to death not only God, but our only hope of being closer to God, the only mediator, the only advocate, the only propitiation, the only atonement that we could ever hope for in from our sin. Now we're in trouble. Jesus' will can't look good for us at this juncture. But when we uncover God's will, the will of a dying man, one of the last gasps of his breath, Father, forgive them. Peter, still given the keys. Jesus said to him, I pray that your faith won't fail, Simon. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. You will fail, but I pray your faith won't. I'm here to tell somebody today, we fail. But our faith doesn't have to. In my area of failure, in my area I say the wrong thing. I may do the wrong thing. Amen. That does not mean that my faith in God has to fail. No matter what I do, no matter how much I fail, God is still on his throne. Get back up. Repent of your sins. Get back to God. Strengthen your brothers. Strengthen the church. Amen. Attend back in church. Get strengthened in God. Because, amen, I don't have to crucify him again. There was one sacrifice made for me that allows all forgiveness to take place. That allows all healing to take place. And so the question came. And it's such a blessing. Pastor Glover speaks about this, about how his pastor told him, when you feel conviction, that is a blessing. Thank God for conviction. Amen. Thank God for when he's being your father and telling you how you need to be corrected, how you need to be changed, how you need to get rid of this in your life or that in your life. Amen. That means he still loves you. That means he's not giving up on you. Amen. Praise God. And so they were cut to the heart, that beautiful thing called conviction, and said to Peter, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Move deeply with remorse and anxiety. And Peter said unto them, he still had the keys. What the Lord spoke to me, amen, I've still got. I'm still in that will. Amen. There's still going to be a church. Praise God. I'm still going to be a part of that church. Repent. Turn from sin and turn to God. Be baptized. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I like how he inserted in there, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Well, Peter, I didn't crucify Christ. In fact, I've come from a long ways away. I've been living righteously. I've been following the law. Amen. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. Your merit can't win this. Everyone needs to repent and be baptized. I'm looking at a wonderful congregation. I'm looking at giants for God. But everyone still needs to repent of their sin. Everyone still needs to come before God and say, God, let me be crucified with Christ. So blessed by Sister Rebecca's song, amen. Are you living in the crucified? Are you waking up crucified? Amen. Are you waking up dead to your own will and to your own desires? He said, everyone needs it. And if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you're one of the everyone. Amen. The man with the keys said, every one of you, amen, needs this. And it's unto you and to your children and unto all that are afar off. You see, God has strange vision. So we come to a close. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 32. This is what the Lord spoke to the people of God. And it's different. It's not how we think. It's not how I would calculate the scenario. He said, when Zihon and all his army came out to meet us, or it said, all his army came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz. Everybody say, all his army. You can see the desire within. I mean, they're pumped up, they're angry, and they're coming to destroy, and they've got their weaponry. Amen. They're, Brother Sam, they're like Goliath arrayed in all that incredible armor that they've got. And they're coming out to meet us in battle. But this is how the Lord sees it in verse 31. The Lord said to me, see, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his country over to you. Now begin to conquer and possess his land. But God, that's a full force army there. See? Yeah. Yeah. But I'm facing a trial. I'm facing a difficulty. Yeah, see? Yeah, I've handed that to you because we're going to conquer. And I'm going to show you my greatness through the scenario and through this situation. Amen. Can I tell you what the Lord was looking at? Amen. When he was facing his crucifixion. Hallelujah. When he was facing all of that turmoil, all of that beating. Amen. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. The Son of God didn't fix his look upon his murderers. He was looking at those he would be filling according to his will. I don't see the same things you do. You see murderers, amen. You see them spit on my face. You see them smacking me in the back. I'm on the cross and you see them mocking me, amen. And yes, it hurts. They said that he despised the shame. Yes, it is. I don't like being up here. It's hurting me. There's pain here, but I'm not looking at that. Praise God, I'm seeing some glory. I'm seeing maybe a kid by the name of Luke James. I'm seeing the glory that's there when he didn't feel like he could receive the Holy Ghost. Man, I've got a stuttering problem. I'm self-conscious about that. I've got these other failures. I'm so insignificant. Surely God can't fill me. And God says, that's the one I see. Hallelujah. Because even though he feels insignificant, even though he feels like he can't get a touch from God, even though he doesn't feel as blessed as these other ones over here, and I didn't come out of that lineage over there, praise God, there would be an announcement. Amen. On the second or third day, I don't remember what day, Luke James just received the Holy Ghost. It is for me. And the Lord says, that's who I put in my will. Amen. That's who I see. That's who my vision. You bring me anybody. Amen. I don't care what kind of sin they're bound with. I don't care what kind of addiction they brought. I don't care what kind of family life they came out of. I don't see that. I just see someone I can put my glory into. Make them shine with my glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And it's Cy Green. Amen. It's Connor Green getting filled with the glory of the Lord. I just believe with all my heart that's who Jesus was seeing. Amen. That's who's in Jesus' will. Praise God. Why don't you stand to your feet and clap your hands? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited about the glory God shows. I'm excited about how God shows himself in people. Praise God. You may be seated. And then it's Chu Yi Thayer. She's a little girl. And the word from her pastor's wife is she's super quiet. So I put her down on the list of people that need to receive the Holy Ghost. The next day after service, I didn't see her around. I didn't meet her. Didn't see anything happening there. And so I just assumed nothing had happened. And I was taking the list of people that received the Holy Ghost. And we were getting that tabulated, getting that written down. And then Sister Strack, whoa, 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 whoa. Chu Yi, quiet little girl. God's shown his glory in her too. And she's received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Chu Yi has hearing aids in both ears. They cost $7,000 a piece. Expenses. And she's just not hearing well. Praise God. And God says, you may see expensive hearing aids. You may see a quiet little girl. I'm going to use somebody to show my glory through. Amen. In the name that, that's why I was on that cross. Hallelujah. That's why, amen. That's why I allowed that blood to flow. That's why every time there was another laceration, it's like, well, devil, this is just going to be someone else that can have the blood. Amen. Applied to their life. Praise God. Because Chu Yi on the night of healing, praise God, when we prayed healing over people, hallelujah. She didn't have her hearing aids with her, actually. They were too worried about them getting lost. So Sister Strack said, I heard, huh, more times than I've ever heard in my life. And she's got a lot of kids. And I'm sure she's heard, huh, a few times. But she said, Chu Yi said it more than I've ever heard. But I'm here to tell somebody she doesn't have to say that anymore. Because she's hearing clearly, amen, by the healing, power, and touch of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. No more hearing aids needed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you wonder how, as a first-time guest, you ever wonder why it feels like God knows exactly what you're going through? God knows exactly what you need. It feels like he knows you. Well, it's because he does. It's because of the cross. He saw you on the cross, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. While we were yet sinners, amen, he proved, he demonstrated, he showed his love to us, amen. And so he can speak right into our situation, amen. And there's nothing too bad for that blood to take away and to heal. As a writer, as we come to a close, let's all stand in Psalm chapter 77, verse 10. He had considered despair and hopelessness. He had contemplated how love had vanished. Favor was gone. Promises had failed. His reality was rejection. And he said, you know, I've got plenty to wallow around in here. Plenty of despair. Plenty of depression. Whole bunch of hopelessness. But then a thought came to him. In Psalm 77 verse 10. He said, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. Saying he's remembering that. Whenever you remember the things of God, you fulfill the definition of appealing. To appeal means to apply to a higher court for a reversal of the decision of a lower court. Individual servant came running to Elisha and said, there's an army coming against us. There's no way out. This army has us surrounded. And that's how you may feel. My situation has me surrounded. I'm being evicted. I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm hurting. I don't know how I can take another day of this. I don't know what to do.
We need to pray for Sister Wade.
Okay. All right.
Pray for Sister Wade right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, call on the name of the Lord. Come on, call on the name of the Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, in your powerful name, in your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, oh, God, we glorify you. Oh, God, we look to you. Oh, God, we call upon you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. In Jesus' great name, in Jesus' great name. Oh, thank the Lord, and we put our trust in Him. He does the work. He provides the way. He ministers and blesses. Praise God. Praise God. Call him up for prayer.
Name of Jesus. Let's all come up right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want to say to you in the midst of, I know we're bewildered. I know it's a difficult, trying time. It's scary. Amen. But you always have an advocate. We can always appeal to a higher court. Hallelujah. And I wonder if we could do that right now. Everybody go ahead and close your eyes. Let's allow God to uncover some hidden things in our life. There's joy. There's comfort. There's love in this scenario that he can uncover right now. Jesus, in your name I pray, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we appeal to a higher court. You're our Father who art in heaven. Uncover your goodness, God. Uncover, Lord Jesus, your healing. Uncover your touch in our scenario, Lord. Ebo se yalabasi alamoso yalabaha. Edabasi miya se yalabasi ororo yaboto. Halabiya se yalamana niyalo. Go ahead, church. Let's get a hold of God right now. Go ahead, church. Go ahead and speak out some things right now. Go ahead and let God minister to you. Let God touch you. Let God manifest himself in a powerful way right now.